When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone, let me tell you about the sponsor for this episode, and that's iTalkie as usual. iTalkie is a great solution if you or someone you know is looking for one-to-one lessons with a qualified teacher in a flexible and personalized way over Skype. Find an iTalkie teacher to help with your spoken fluency, your vocab, grammar, or pronunciation development, or specific things like job interviews or exams. And when you buy some talking time on iTalkie, they will send you a voucher for a free lesson. To get that offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalkie logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're well. In the last episode, you heard me talking to Amber and Paul. I hope you enjoyed that. It was lots of fun. I recorded it last week. And after doing that mammoth episode about poshness, Amber had to go. But Paul stayed. And so I thought that we would return to the topic of the British citizenship test. We talked about this last time in episode 527 when Paul took the test on the podcast and failed. I still had some other bits and pieces that I wanted to cover in the episode, including a stand-up routine about the citizenship test and also an article in The Telegraph. Both of those things include their own citizenship tests. So let's see if Paul can pass them. Be prepared to be either shocked or amazed by Paul's knowledge about British things in general. And also, we end up taking a citizenship test for the USA. And to see if we pass or not, just keep listening. So this episode is a chance for you to listen to Paul and me in conversation, but there's also loads of stuff to learn in terms of British culture and certain words which are often pronounced wrong by native speakers of British English. Check the page for this episode where you will find links to the various tests and videos that we're talking about. Let's now join Paul and me after we'd just finished a cup of tea, ready to talk more on the podcast, and let's see how much he and you know about British life, culture, and language.
English.
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 Yes.
English.
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 English, dude.
English.
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 English fish.
English.
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 Plain English, creep.
English.
English.
I speak English now.
Yes. I learned.
So I'm still sitting here with Mr. Paul Taylor. Amber had to go and pick up her son or something.
God, she's got a son.
Like, sad. You're going to go and pick up your son. Sad. I'm just joking, of course. It's always fun, isn't it, when you have to point out that you're joking?
Yeah.
Does that ever happen to you? Happens to me all the time.
Yeah, a little, but sometimes.
It's not very good if you have to say, I'm only joking, because it means A, people didn't find it funny, and B, they didn't notice that you were joking.
Yeah, that's a very, I feel like it's a very English thing that we have this sarcasm. And this way of being cynical,
yeah,
that other countries don't necessarily understand all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really think that? Because we will often talk for ages without really meaning what we're saying. We're just trying to be stupid and controversial and just saying ironic things without really meaning them.
Yeah.
Do other countries don't do that?
I don't know. I don't think they do. I always have this thing with Americans. Not that I do, but it's kind of a well-known thing that Americans have a difficult time understanding when we're joking or understanding our thing. You know, when they'll take us seriously without understanding that we're just being serious. It's either with sarcasm or the kind of not serious. Like you'll say something really horrible,
yeah,
and obviously you're obviously not thinking that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I've had experiences like that. I remember once. At the university where I used to teach, there were staff from England, staff from Australia, staff from America. And I remember I was standing around with this Australian guy
And they're the best Australians. I love their sense of humour.
And I was with this Aussie guy who was really funny, and this American girl who was like this kind of youngish student who was in France doing a, you know, like a 1 year placement or something like that. And she was a very earnest American girl, and me and the Aussie guy were just talking shit and not really meaning anything we were saying. And she just had no idea. She was just standing there like trying to keep up with us, and she had no, she just, you know, what you want is someone to just join in the banter.
Yeah.
So I can't remember what it was we were talking about. Probably, you know, anything, like we're just standing there trying to get coffee and just making fun of the coffee and just saying stuff in a deadpan way. Yeah. And she was like, she was looking at us like, do you mean what you're saying?
Yeah,
or not?
We did that with Addy, the first, like one of
your,
the first,
your wife,
my wife. Yeah. One of the first time, this is 10 years ago now. The first, one of the first times I introduced her to my mate, Chris,
yeah,
who you met, tall ginger guy,
yeah,
who is very quiet, very serious, but is very funny as well. At one stage we were sat around the pub in England and he was like, I can't remember how it came up in conversation, but basically he said to her, yeah, you need to be careful because Paul can get quite violent sometimes.
Mm.
Completely serious. And you could see her face drop. And I was like, all right, cool. I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, Chris, why I didn't, you know, why did you bring this up so early? Like, what are you talking about? And then she started getting really worried. And Chris was like, yeah. Like, he used to beat the crap out of his old girlfriend, all this kind of stuff. And I, and I'm like, well, it wasn't all my fault, you know. And so we're going along with this conversation.
Yeah.
And then she told me afterwards, because obviously at some stage we said, yeah, we're only joking. And like, she had a real sigh of relief because she told me that she thought like it was too good to be true. Like, we met, we had a really cool thing. Like, she was like, she was looking for a fault that I had. And she was like, this is it. He's a violent
psychopath, yeah, who beats up his girlfriend.
Exactly.
And just so, that's one little detail.
Yeah. And granted, back then her English was a lot worse. Okay. Than it is now. Like, she was just learning English. She'd come over to learn English and do her degree. But now that she's, you know, I've introduced her to a lot of UK stand-up comedians, she gets that humour now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's good. I don't know how we ended up talking about that.
I don't
that.
Know either.
Just talking about how Amber went to pick up her
son.
Oh,
yeah. And you're explaining
and
jokes.
I was going, oh, that's sad to have a son. I don't mean it. Right. Now, a while ago, I think it was probably about a year ago, we were upstairs in my old flat doing the British citizenship test.
Oh, the thing that I can't say, yeah, the British citizenship test. Yeah. Oh, I did it first time, yes.
But you have to do that. You've got to really make an effort to say British citizenship.
Yeah.
You've really got to make an effort to do it. And I've still got some bits and pieces left over that we didn't cover in that episode. So I don't remember which number it is, but it was, you know, 500 and something or 400 and something where...
Yeah. Did you see that I did a vlog?
I saw that you vlogged about it, but I didn't see the
vlog. I took the test again.
Yeah.
Like, properly. Like, I know, like, you know, I'd know that I'd failed the first one.
Yeah.
And so I did it again. I failed it again.
Did you really?
Yeah. But it was all history.
Yeah.
All the history stuff I didn't get. If I'd have got one of the history ones correct, I'd have passed. Like, I failed by two questions or whatever.
Okay. So yeah, one of the things we said while we were doing the citizenship test, we were kind of talking about how, a lot of people don't agree with the format of the test because there's lots of history in there. And, you know, is this the, you know, knowledge of British history, is this what makes you part of British cultural life?
Yeah.
Is this the thing that you need to know, just the history? Obviously, it's very good to know the history of the place where you're living. But is this the most important thing that makes you integrated into into a country? And lots of people disagree about it. And I thought that we could actually, first of all, watch this little clip of Imran Yusuf. Do you know him?
Yes. Oh, I think I know the clip.
You know the clip?
Is it where he's talking about the ethnicities on the...
No.
He's got a keynote presentation. No, okay.
No, it's not the ethnicities one. So this is Imran Yusuf's British citizenship test.
Okay. I like this comedian. Yeah, he's good.
He's of Pakistani origin.
Mm-hmm.
So I did an episode recently about Paul Chowdhury.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I haven't listened to it, but did you play one of his things?
I played one of his Live at the Apollo routines.
Where he's talking about you scrounge a little slag.
Yeah. Like, when are you going to move out, you scrounge a little slag?
And take your kids with you.
Yeah, exactly. And also the bit where he's going, you know, I think to break down racial barriers, I think we all need to put on the accent, the person we're talking to. And he's in one butter chicken.
One butter chicken.
Do you want dick sauce or no dick sauce?
Sorry, mate.
I like how deadpan. I really like his
just delivery.
Because he's
great. Got a very deadpan voice. And then he'll go off into his different characters. Anyway, why did I mention Paul Chowdhury?
Because you're talking about...
Paul Chowdhury's Indian origin, and a lot of his comedy is kind of along those racial lines.
Yeah.
And Imran Yusuf is kind of similar stories from a Pakistani background. So he's talking about ethnicity a lot in his shows and things like that.
Mm.
And in this one, this routine is about his British citizenship test.
Okay.
So he's designed his own test. Let's just... Have a look.
He's designed it. Okay, great.
He's created it, and it's part of his stand-up routine. It's pretty good. So we're gonna go through this clip, and you're gonna take Imran Yusuf's British citizenship test here, and we'll talk about each question as they come. Okay, let's just watch the little intro, and we can maybe break it down after we've seen that.
Yeah. But first up, it's. Oh, it's at the Comedy Store.
At the Comedy Store, which is where we performed.
Just a few months ago. 2 months ago. Yeah. I mean, they've done up the stage and stuff.
Well, there was a period when the stage looked like that, and they had special lighting there. Yeah. These days, it's just black with the Comedy Store.
But when they
logo.
Do it, when they do a TV show, they always spruce it up.
Yeah, it's a great venue. Mm.
Good evening, Comedy Store. How you guys doing? Good. Welcome, 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 welcome. I've been hearing a lot about this British citizenship test. You might have heard about this on the news. So it got me kind of thinking. You know, the government needs to ask people to quantify themselves to be British citizens. They ask you questions like, what happened in 1066?
Well, there's a question for you. What happened in 1066?
This is one of the questions on my vlog that I failed.
Yeah, totally.
Battle of Hastings.
Yes. And why is that significant?
Because that was the last battle between France and England.
No, not the last battle.
The most recent one?
No, not at all.
Fuck.
No, there were many other battles since then. I mean, the Battle of Waterloo was probably the last one.
Oh, I think that was the answer.
That's when we...
Why was Hastings important? No idea.
It was basically the Norman invasion of England.
Okay.
And this is pretty... You should know that one, really. Because then after that, like, we had a French royal family for a couple of hundred years. Okay. And a lot of people...
And that's when French was, like, almost the official language.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so you know that.
300
you know
years. That stuff. Yeah, more
anyway,
or less.
Anyway, all right.
They identify themselves to be British citizens. They ask you questions like, what happened in 1066?
Is the joke going to be, it's a beer?
It's not. It's not.
You might have heard about this on the news. So it got me kind of thinking. You know, the government needs to ask people to quantify themselves to be British citizens. They ask you questions like, what happened in 1066? Chill out.
For a second.
So everyone's like, you know, desperate rushing to give the answer, and he's like, all right, chill out.
Battle of Hastings, you're correct, okay, but that's the kind of questions they ask you. And just so you know the answer to that doesn't mean that you're quintessentially part of the cultural fabric in this country. It just means that you know something about history.
Hmm.
Okay. Just because you know the answer doesn't mean you're quintessentially part of the social fabric. You just know something about history, okay? Which I think is probably true. It's like more to being integrated into the UK.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can learn history. You can, I mean, if you look up a history book for Nigeria or Ecuador, just because you know the date of whatever war doesn't mean you're Ecuadorian all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's obviously we're not saying that it's bad to know things.
No, of course it's not.
It's always good to
know
things.
It's great to know all of these things, but it doesn't make you more English than somebody who doesn't know it.
Maybe a slightly more. But it's not necessarily the most important factor in making people integrated. Anyway, this is why he's come up with his own test.
Go on.
So it got me thinking, and you know what? I thought that maybe I should come up with my own British citizenship test. Yeah. You best be afraid. So you got it right, so I'm not going to pick with you. You all right, fella? What's your name? Oscar, nice to meet you, Oscar.
Obviously, he's choosing someone in the audience who is going to be his test subject.
Mm-hmm. You all right? You're a British citizen? Yeah, you proud to be a British citizen? Yeah, would you be so kind to take part in my British citizenship test? Yeah, round of applause there for Oscar who's going to take part in the test.
Okay, so Oscar is some unwitting English lad who's going to be taking this test. And notice the accent there, folks. British citizenship.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about posh stuff with Amber in the previous episode.
Yep. Imran Yusuf.
I'm saying the previous episode. I don't know if this.
Yeah,
be,
it probably will it be will the be. Previous okay. episode. Yeah.
Yeah, he's clearly not posh.
Yeah, accent.
London.
Yeah, somewhere in London. British citizenship test.
Yeah.
Okay. So here he is. He comes out with these cards. He's got these sort of A3 size cards, Which are going to be the question?
I have
cards.
Seen this, but I've forgotten it. I saw it ages ago when it came out.
Now it's important, listeners, that you understand what's going on here. And I'm going to pause the video, and I'll explain what they can't see and what you can see.
Okay,
that's going to be
important. Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay, here we go.
This costs 20 quid to laminate, you better laugh.
Wait, what did he say?
He said it costs 20 quid to laminate, £20 to laminate, so you better laugh. It's basically a binder, a book binder that's made out of laminated paper that's probably A3. Mm-hmm. I think it's A3 sized paper.
Yeah.
Who's just laminated and made it into a book with a spiral.
Laminated?
Laminated, plastified.
Covered in plastic.
Covered in plastic.
Yeah, if you're serious about having a piece of paper and you want to keep it, you laminate it, right?
Yeah.
You have it laminated. You just cover it in like a plastic. Exactly. Put it through a laminating machine.
Uh-huh.
So he's had his British citizenship test booklet laminated. So yeah, it's cost 20 quid to laminate. You better laugh.
Now, young Oscar, I'm going to show you some words, right? Don't worry, they're all in English. And all you got to do, Oscar, is say them in the correct British way, right? Now, if you say them correctly, everyone's going to give you a cheer. If you say them incorrectly, everyone's going to boo you. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And make sure you boo. I've seen this break people. It's hilarious.
So if you win, the audience will cheer. If he gets it wrong, they're going to boo. What does that sound like, boo?
Boo.
Yeah, and he's saying, I've seen this break people. It's hilarious. Okay. And they're all words. You've got to say them correctly.
Okay, remember, Oscar, it's all down to the pronunciation, yeah? Not the pronunciation, yeah? The pronunciation.
Do you notice that?
Yeah, not the pronunciation. Is that how Americans say it?
No, it's just how a lot of sort of so-called uneducated people say pronunciation.
Yeah, pronunciation. It's actually though it's spelt pronunciation.
It's spelt pronunciation. And the verb is to pronounce, but the noun is spelt pronunciation.
Idiots.
So you can totally understand why someone would say pronunciation.
Yeah, like
even
it makes sense. Yeah.
It makes sense. It's logical,
yeah,
considering the other words are pronounced like that. But no, it's pronunciation.
And the English language.
And certain, let's say...
The English language!
Some snooty people would look down their nose and go, actually, it's pronunciation, not pronunciation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's loads of examples. I've forgotten them all, but there's loads of examples where it should be pronounced in a certain way and it's just not. And you're just like, well, why does that... What?
And if you get it wrong, then you'll be judged.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, so you get the pronunciation right. Not the pronunciation, the pronunciation.
Okay, nobody help him with this. It's the first one he's got to get right. It's the first word Oscar's saying the correct British...
God.
Okay, so the first word has been revealed and it's spelt like this. Okay, listeners, ready? A-D-V-E-R-T. A-D-V-E-R-T-I-S-E-M-E-N-T. It's something you would see maybe on the television or on a billboard in order to promote... a product, right? A-D-V-E-R-T-I-S-E-M-E-N-T. How do you pronounce that, Paul?
Well, it's the debate between... Well, it's the debate. There probably isn't a debate. But because I am being put on the spot, it's either advertisement or advertisement.
Okay. Which one is it?
I'm going to say advertisement.
Let's see.
All down to the pronunciation, yeah? Not the pronunciation, yeah? The pronunciation. That is the word, Oscar! Say it!
Advertisement.
It's advertisement.
Okay.
A lot of people make that mistake. We see this word and we think it's pronounced advertisement. That's incorrect. The correct British way is, in fact, advertisement. So you got one wrong, you'll get the rest right if you want to stay in the country now, Oscar.
What was that line he said about?
He goes, you got one wrong, you got to get the rest right if you want to stay in the country, son.
Okay. Which is quite funny considering he's like this, you know, from an immigrant background.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well, so all right, I got it right. I'm happy with
that. You got it right.
Yeah.
Advertisement, folks, not advertisement. Although you might hear that in the States.
Advertisement.
Yeah. But advertisement is what we say. Okay. So you're okay.
I'm doing all right.
Next question.
Oh my God, the irony.
The irony.
Because he's from a Pakistani background.
He's from Pakistani background, talking about sending other people home or whatever. Okay. He's clearly enjoying doing this very much, which you can understand.
There's some people not laughing, I know. Right, here's the next one. You got one wrong, you got two more to go, okay? This is friends looking real serious now, so I'll help you, mate, I'll help you. I'm gonna Google it on my smartphone. His next word.
I like how I'll Google it on my smartphone. Was a joke that was.
Yeah.
When was this published? 2014. Yeah, but I reckon that's probably it's from about 2009 or 10 or something when smartphones just started coming out.
When it was possible to Google something on your smartphone.
Yeah.
And saying I'll Google it on my smartphone was a hilarious thing to say.
Yeah. Well, and also because not that many people. It was probably a phrase that people who had money were able to say, like, right. Oh, I'll Google it on my smartphone.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay, here comes the next word.
Wait
a minute. Don't say it yet. So this, folks, this word is spelled S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E. S-C-H-E-D-U-L-E. And it's like a timetable.
Yeah.
Right?
I know how you say it in British English because I've had this discussion with many people. I still pronounce it schedule because I don't know. Maybe I was used to working at Apple with Americans, but the British way is schedule.
That's right. So technically...
I think we might have had this discussion on your podcast and you gave me shit for...
No.
Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't have given you shit.
Listeners, if you can find the time when Luke made fun of me for saying schedule on the podcast, leave it in the comments. I think it was you.
I don't think that happened, but maybe any excuse.
It might have been Amber on the podcast when the three of us were there,
right.
But
maybe.
I'm pretty sure that we've come. Yeah, anyway, go. I've learned my lesson now.
So you know that most Brits would say schedule, or the consensus seems to be that schedule is the way it's said. So, like, for example, my parents, if I said schedule, they'd be like, it's schedule, not schedule.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that's...
Which is weird because, you know, you wouldn't say a scheme. You'd say a scheme.
Scheme. And you don't say a shul, you say a school.
Yeah.
In fact, pretty much every word that begins with S-C-H in English is pronounced sk, except schedule. So, again, logic is on your side.
Yeah.
And so...
It's probably why I pronounce it schedule.
Because you're a very logical man. Yeah.
What I like is the French word for schedule is planning, which sounds like an English word, the planning.
Yeah.
Which actually makes sense
as
well.
It makes more sense.
But it doesn't exist in English, yeah. The planning. All right, go.
So, all right, let's go.
It's all down to the pronunciation, not the...
How is Oscar going to say this?
Pronunciation, yeah, the pronunciation. That is the word, Oscar, say it!
Schedule,
correct! Round of applause! Your mate had to help you there. He almost kissed you on the lips as he said it. We watch a lot of American TV and we often hear this word pronounced as schedule. That's incorrect. The correct British way is, in fact, schedule. So he's got one wrong, he's got one right, he's doing well so far. Now, I appreciate there's some people at the back here who might not be able to see this correctly, so you'll just have to buy my DVD.
Some people won't be able to see the cards, so you'll just have to buy my DVD.
This is business, mmm.
Business is business, he says, in a slightly kind of stereotypical, I guess, Pakistani way, like a Pakistani trader in a market or something. Business is business.
Here's a final one that Oscar said correctly in the correct British way, okay? Nobody helping with this.
It's the final one.
It's all down to the pronunciation. Not the pronunciation yet.
Okay, so that this word is spelled S-O-C-C-E-R. It's the name of the most popular sport in the world that was arguably... invented in England, we like to think so anyway. S-O-C-C-E-R. Paul?
Yeah, so this is a comedy show, so I'm anticipating what's going to happen.
Yes.
Obviously, the correct pronunciation is soccer, because there's only one way to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what Oscar's going to say. He's going to go soccer, and Imran is going to go, it's football!
All right, let's see.
This is the word, Oscar! Say it!
Soccer.
Soccer, now we call it football. Get out!
Sorry, we call it football. Get out. Yeah,
yeah. That's like the biggest. If you think about Americans and English people, often the things that come up in terms of difference of languages is the famous phrase "you say tomato, I say tomato." So yeah. Tomato, tomato. Yeah. But the other one is soccer and football, where if English people are like, "Yeah, but you use your foot and you're touching a ball, so that's why we call it football."
Yeah.
You know, and so we try and be condescending to Americans that way. So they call it soccer because their version of football, they throw it. And the other one that comes up is trousers and pants,
right.
Which is always the thing where people are like, oh, in England we say pants for underwear and trousers for the outerwear.
Yeah.
But in America they call them pants for the outerwear and underwear for the underwear.
With hilarious consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Like there was an interview with somebody in the UK interviewing Johnny Depp. At some stage, I don't know if you've seen the clip, but the interviewer asks Johnny Depp, I don't know in what context, but it's like how often do you go without washing your pants? Which for English people means how long do you wear your underwear without washing them?
Yeah.
And he says about 4 weeks or a month.
Yeah.
Because he's understood...
Trousers,
yeah. Which, you know, is still a bit weird, but...
If you're Johnny Depp and you're kind of a rock and roll kind of person, you might go 4 weeks without washing your trousers.
Yeah, anyway, so that's like, oh, hilarious, trousers, pants, ha ha.
Ha ha ha, what fun we had. Exactly, yeah. Okay. But do you know soccer? It's actually an English word. Did you know that? Do you know what it means? We used to say soccer.
Do we?
Yeah, we used
no,
to.
No, what does it mean?
Soccer is short for association football.
Oh. Right?
Because there were different types of football back in the day.
Right.
There was association football, which basically means association rules football.
Right.
Which is the football that we know and love today, the one that you play with your feet.
Yeah.
Well, your brother plays with his feet.
Yeah.
And then there was other types of football, like rugby football.
Yeah, that's why there's a... I never understood that. Like RFC, whatever the club is, rugby football club.
Yeah.
Like there's a bunch of rugby clubs called RFC, which is called the Rugby Football
FC,
Club.
FC, meaning football club. Yeah, because...
Like Arsenal FC, but there's a... I can't remember what it is. There's one called something RFC. Mm. It's a rugby club, but it's... I don't know.
But anyway, there was a time when we used to call it association rules football and rugby football, because rugby was a version of football that was played at rugby university.
Right.
And also there was gridiron football, which is American football.
Right.
Which is played on a gridiron, which is basically a pitch with lines down it.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because you've got to make progress along the pitch. The gridiron football. And gridiron football is just, in America, it's just football.
Uh-huh.
And for us, football is association football. And rugby is rugby rules football.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So actually, association rules.
Association, because association is spelt with the two S, S and O.
Two C's. And so that's where we get soccer from. So when Brits say to Americans, it's not soccer, it's football. And when they talk about soccer being an American thing, it's not. We came up with the word soccer,
right.
And we used to use it. So,
there we go. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Is there any more to this video?
Round of applause, everyone, for taking part in the British Citizenship Test. Well done, fella.
Round of applause for Oscar for taking part in the British Citizenship Test.
British Citizenship
well done,
Test.
Well done.
I think that's probably enough. But what I do have as well here is a bit more on the citizenship test. I've got a citizenship test from the Daily Telegraph's website.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get stuck into that. And I think there are just... This is... they published this when Meghan Markle was going to become a Brit, when she was due to marry Harry. Obviously, she's now married Harry.
She's married Harry.
Yeah, but the Daily Telegraph, which is a sort of a conservative-ish newspaper, published their own citizenship test, and which they basically their thoughts were: this is what you really need to know to be a proper Brit.
Okay? It's funny because talking about the pronunciation of it. So at the beginning, so my stereo trip series where we go to different countries each. I'm like, oh, welcome to the country. I make fun of, like, I do a stereotypical, like, what the country sounds like. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I asked you guys on social media what the stereotypes were.
Yeah.
And so at the beginning of the English episode, the kind of angle was, I'm going back to England because I recently took a British citizenship test.
Yeah.
And I failed it. So I forgot how to be English. And so that's why I asked you on social media for our stereotypes. And then we do the documentary. And even... Like, I couldn't say, I kept on fluffing the line, so we kept it in, the outtakes, like in the intro.
This is like a few bloopers of you trying to say British citizenship.
Yeah, but it's going to be part of the documentary, which is funny. Okay. So let me get it on here.
Do you all recognize this other boy? Oh, it's the one you've all been waiting for. After five other episodes in five other countries, it's now time for me to make fun of my own country stereotypes. But before we do that... got a little confession to make. Because I've been living in France for 9 years, I feel a little less British than I used to. So before coming here, I decided to take a British citizenship test. Fuck. The British citizenship test. British citizenship. It's a fucking cunt bag. British citizen. Welcome to vlog 100. I filmed myself taking the test for my YouTube channel, and here's what happened. Are you ready for the results? Oh, fuck! I failed the test.
means I have to take this British passport and fucking rip it up.
Clearly, I don't know my country as well as I thought, so I asked you on social media to help me out with this.
There you go.
Okay, when can we see that video?
That one will... So it comes out on TV on the 29th of April. So it'll be on YouTube the following Saturday.
Okay. And the your episode of A Stereo Trip about England,
yeah,
that features yours truly...
Mr. Luke Thompson.
I'm in there. That's going to be up on YouTube, what, at the end of this month?
It'll be... no, so at the end, it's that'll be... It's the same one.
Same story.
It's the same. Probably the 4th of May.
4th of May?
On YouTube, yeah.
Okay, right.
Because it broadcasts on the 29th of April, so then we put it on the Saturday. It might be a little bit earlier, but yeah, end of April, beginning of May.
I'll share it. I'll talk about it on the podcast, so you'll be able to see it, folks.
Yes.
So let's do this Daily Telegraph citizenship test.
Am I allowed to look at the screen or not? You're going to...
No.
No. Okay, cool.
All right, so question number one.
Yes.
And there are 8 questions here.
Okay? Yeah.
Listeners, I want you to take part in this too.
This
all right?
is now my 4th British citizenship
let's
test.
Let's see if you can pass this.
Citizenship test, yeah.
Question number one. If someone tells you that they are having a knees up, what are they doing? Well, we're just having a bit of a knees up down the pub, Paul.
Go on.
Come down the pub, we're going to have a knees up.
Is there a multiple choice?
Could be a Danny Dyer sort of situation.
Yeah.
Come on, Paul, come down the pub. We're going to have a go out and have a knees up down the pub. There's no multiple choice. You just have to tell me what you know about that. I can't believe you don't know this.
Yeah, I should know.
Knees up, Mother Brown. Knees up, Mother Brown. You'll gather around the piano and have a knees up. Have a few drinks.
Just have a few drinks.
It's have a party, have a dance and a party.
All right.
It's a Cockney party where they play songs.
Where they dance with their knees
and
up.
And dance and, I guess so.
All right, fail.
So the answer from the Telegraph is this. No need to reach for your yoga mat, Megan. So it's not that kind of knees up. In British, in Brit speak, this means that someone is having a party, otherwise known as a bash. Not to be confused with a night on the tiles, which means going out. So having a knees up just means having a party.
Okay.
All right. Oh, my God.
It's a bad start.
Come on, Paul.
It's a bad start.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Question two.
Who are you?
What happens at the end of a British wedding? So essentially, what's the last stage of a British wedding? There are various stages. What's basically the last part of a British wedding?
People throw up.
Before that. So that's true. People vomit and get in taxis. But what happens before that? All right, I'll give you another clue.
Yeah.
So you've got the ceremony, the couple get married, then they go off to the reception.
Speeches.
There's the speeches, there's the dinner.
Yeah. Dancing?
Dancing.
Okay.
That's the answer.
Isn't that the same as every wedding? I've been to an American wedding, a French wedding. They're all the same. They all dance.
Yeah, that is definitely possible that it's the same in every country.
Stupid question.
And this is the Daily Telegraph just going, in Britain we all just dance, don't we, at the end of a wedding? Well, so does everyone else.
Yeah.
It's not unique to you. And they've said, a cheesy song will come on.
Yeah.
So if you're marrying a British man surrounded by his relatives and friends, this is the stuff you really need to know. Which is basically, it's pretty much the same as every other
80s song.
Cheesy song will come on, usually Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, which is your cue to put down your plate of cheese from the buffet and head to the dance floor. Here, you'll be expected to dance alongside a drunken uncle and a toddler, that's a small child, in the most uncoordinated and delirious way possible.
Yeah.
And a note, Queen have nothing to do with the actual Queen. Okay, great question there from the Daily Telegraph. Not a great question. Moving on. Number three. Oh, I wonder if you're going to get this. Question three. What does a white coat signify? A lady wearing a white coat. For example, the one that Meghan wore in her engagement photographs. If a woman is going out to a thing and she wears a white coat, what does that mean?
That she's single, she's a virgin, she's... Tonight,
as if it would mean she was a virgin. Like, hello everyone, I'm a virgin. You can tell because I'm wearing a white coat, whereas my friend is wearing a red coat. I'll let you guess what that means.
Single, I don't know that she's...
Well, I wasn't really aware of this
I
either.
I don't know.
Apparently it means you're posh.
What?
Yeah.
Bollocks.
According to the Daily Telegraph, it says only the poshest women dare to wear a blank canvas, meaning a white coat, in puddle-strewn Britain, in Britain where there are loads of puddles of water and stuff, presumably because they're the only ones who can afford
to buy a new one.
If someone spills red wine all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently posh women wear white coats because they can afford the cleaning bills and
this
stuff.
This is
Daily Telegraph citizenship test. Probably read by the sort of, you know, Tory voters.
It's, you know. Question four. What does no coat signify? If you go out and you're not wearing a coat, what does that mean?
That you're a slag and you can't afford the coat check at the nightclub.
That's not exactly it. Which part of the country do you come from if you go out without
the
a
north.
Coat? In the north, yes. Correct. So it means that you're northern. It's scientifically proven that northern British women don't feel the cold.
Mm.
It's something to do with the fact that they grew up with so much cold that they somehow became immune to it. So it's best to ditch that jacket when you appear for your first official engagement in Nottingham on Friday. Nottingham? That's not really in the north. That's the Midlands. Fucking the Daily Telegraph. Yeah. Obviously from London. Oh yeah, Nottingham, that's in the north, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not, it's in the Midlands. All right. But the stereotype is, if you're from Newcastle...
What? Why, eh, man?
What are you wearing a coat for, man?
Just buy two jumpers for the same price.
I think I heard some joke from a comedian once. It was like, you know, I got arrested in Newcastle. I was found in possession of a coat or some shit like that. Question number five.
This is a shit test.
Yeah. Well,
go on.
Yeah. Question five. What is a greasy spoon?
Oh, that's like a cafe where you can have an English breakfast. You can have a cup of tea, like a proper builder's cup of tea. It's where builders go at lunchtime to just have a quick thing to eat. Pie and mash, maybe. It's just a run-down cafe.
What does it look like? What do the seats and tables look like?
The seats are usually, I think, plastic. The tables are a bit of wood. They've got like some sort of like weird crisscross tiling.
Yeah.
There's a counter. There's normally an old blonde-haired 70-year-old woman who's running the place. All right, love. Can I get you a cup of tea?
What can I get for you, darling?
What can I get for you, darling? You want fish and chips, do you? You want a full English?
One fish and chips for this young fella.
Oi, Robert, can I get one fish and chips, please? Lots of salt and vinegar.
Or can I get a chips?
Can I get a chips, please?
A chips, where a plural word can become a singular word.
Yeah.
Can I get a chips and a chicken nuggets?
Greasy spoon. It's greasy spoon because your spoon ends up greasy.
I suppose so. You're absolutely right. It's not something you need to put in the dishwasher.
Because the Telegraph readers have got dishwashers.
Yeah, rather, a greasy spoon is a caff, short for a cafe or cafeteria. And one can be found on every non-hipster British high street.
What are you talking about? It's on every hipster British high
hipsters,
street.
Yeah, hipsters love greasy spoon cafes.
What are you talking about? You go down Shoreditch.
Talking bollocks. In a greasy spoon, you can buy local cuisine, such as baked beans and scrambled eggs, with a mug of builder's tea.
There you go.
All right, then. Question six. Who or what are national treasures? What's a national treasure, or who are some examples?
It's a TV personality or a celebrity who's contributed a lot to British culture through their work on TV. It's usually TV, like it's normally, well, it can be singers as well. You could maybe say that David Beckham's a national treasure because he contributed to, you know, English culture and through, you know, his football. You could say that Bruce Forsyth was a national treasure, TV presenter.
Yeah.
Musicians, you could say the Beatles are national treasures.
Yeah.
So it's the arts, basically.
People, like public figures who are beloved by the nation, and they are, like assets that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the crown jewels are national treasures, literally.
Yeah.
Like the Queen's crown and her jewels, those are literally national treasures. But yeah, certain public figures, and they give the examples of Judi Dench, the actress. Stephen Fry is a national treasure, and, you know, Paul McCartney, national treasure as well. And the Queen, of course. But these are all national treasures, as they're described. Okay, and you got that one right as well.
All right.
Question seven, where is the TV show EastEnders set? Where is EastEnders set?
It's set in Albert Square, which is a fake square, which is supposed to be in the East End of London.
Do you know what part of East London it's supposed to be? Do you know the name of the area? Begins with a W. Walford.
Walford, that's it.
Walford. EastEnders is set in the fictional East London borough of Walford, the demographic composition of which would look nothing like it does on TV if it really did exist.
Yeah.
But what they mean by that...
Well, it's because EastEnders is mainly full of white people who would go to a Greasy Spoon and be like, all right, mate, do you know what I mean? All right, Trevor.
Danny Dyer, basically.
Exactly. Whereas the real East End of London is more, the population there is more immigrants.
It's really diverse.
Yeah, I used to live in a place called Mile End.
Yeah, I know.
Which I used to do a joke. One of my first jokes on stage in London when I started was like, I live in the East End of London in Mile End. If you don't know where that is, it's just in between Poland and India. because a 100 metres down the road in Whitechapel is a very heavily India
community,
and to the west in Stratford was where all the Polish people who built most of London,
the Olympic
modern
village,
London, or? Yeah, the Olympic Village, all the new buildings in London, all built by Polish people.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that was the joke. So yeah, the mix of people would be completely different.
Okay,
but they're still sticking to like, the East End, like films like Snatch or Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. That's what they want to keep the image of East London being like. Oh, it's just white people who haven't got much hair. Who've got fat bellies, and because they hang out at the pub, and it's just not what the East End of London's like anymore.
It doesn't look like that anymore, does it?
It's either Indians, Pakistanis, Eastern Europeans, or hipsters.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So nothing like EastEnders. So EastEnders is like some sort of.
When it started, it was probably quite true. When it started in the mid-80s, it would have probably been not too dissimilar to that. But now it's completely
different.
It's
changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, and final question.
I like how they didn't talk about Coronation Street because it's a Telegraph based in London.
Telegraph, London, you know.
Nobody watches Coronation Street.
Coronation,
Ariels, Emmerdale.
All they probably
think is... Ballycus Angel.
Coronation Street, just northern, isn't it? No one really watches it, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Question 8, when does the last tube train depart? When does the last London Underground train
Well, they got
leave?
The night tube now, don't they? So some of the lines go 24 hours. However...
On a normal day. On a Thursday evening, if there's no night tube, when's the last tube home?
I want to say it's about midnight, between midnight and... between 12 and half 12.
Can you be sure?
Can I be sure?
Can you be sure for exactly when the last tube train is?
You look it up on
We need to know when to leave the club.
Yeah, is the answer like no one knows? It's a mystery.
Yeah, the answer is no one knows.
Well, you just go on a TFL app and it'll tell you.
Yeah.
Dickheads.
Well, according to them, it says no one ever knows.
Yeah. It's a stupid test.
Demonstrating that you do know will only mark you out as a foreigner.
Yeah, that's like the Twitter account Only British Problems or whatever it's called. Very British problems. You know, which they're not actual British problems. This isn't actually real questions, but I get it. They're trying to be humorous. Yes, that would be a better test if it was on Lad Bible. I imagine it would be funny.
If it was on the Lad Bible,
yeah, because they're trying to be funny, but they're failing at it.
Right. Okay. Let's have a look at. Should we have a look at very British problems on Twitter?
Twitter.
So let's see if these problems are uniquely British problems or if they're just problems anyone would have. So very British problem: the best meal in the world, sandwiches.
Yep,
it's quite British, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's quite a British thing. Yeah.
Honest office answer. So an answer to a question in an office situation. Ooh, your lunch smells nice. What is it? So you're sitting down at lunchtime.
That actually means your food fucking stinks.
Yeah, maybe. You're sat down, you've just got your lunch, you sat down in the office during your lunch break, and the person next to you goes, oh, that smells nice, what is it?
Mm.
And what's your honest answer to that question? You just want to eat your lunch.
What would be my honest
answer?
It's
like the person is starting a conversation with you, and it's like, I don't want to have a freaking conversation.
It's just some homemade stuff.
Well, according to them, the answer is please leave me alone.
Oh, okay. Honest. Oh, if you were honest, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I get the point. Yeah.
Honest answer, sorry. Yeah. Because apparently, you know, we don't like talking to people, basically.
I was taking that question more of the like the thing that we did in Stereotrip, which was here's what somebody's asking, but here's what they actually mean.
Yeah.
Because if somebody asking, oh, it smells really nice, where's that from? What we actually mean by that is your food really stinks horribly. Like,
yeah.
Why are you eating it in the closed space?
Yeah, which is like heavily hinting you shouldn't be eating that
yeah,
food
exactly.
here. let's see, other British problems. So a British person unable to stand upright due to the wind and the leaves and sticks smashing into their head with eyebrows blown clean from their face. So the wind is so strong that it's blowing your eyebrows off and your eyes are watering with tears, quickly whipped by the wind. What can no British person in that situation avoid saying? So what will every British person say when they're in like the incredibly powerful wind? What would they say?
The weather's quite nice out.
They'd say, oh, a bit windy, isn't it? I think it's true.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit windy.
Oh, it's a bit windy today.
Understatement,
yeah.
Basically. Here's another one. A British person. Now, is this just British people or is this everyone? A person staring out of a rain-soaked window, so the window's covered in rain, observing the rain and all the rain-soaked things that it falls on, is unable to resist making, even to people freshly wet from being in the rain, this observation. So the Brit looks out the window's all wet, the floor is wet, everything's wet, it's raining. A person has just come in soaking wet, and what is it that the Brit has to say to that person?
Something like, how's the weather?
Like, oh, still raining then. Apparently is the one. Still raining. One more. Let's have another one. Okay. Questions that British people love to ask. Apparently. I wonder if this is just Brits or if this is everyone. So this is questions that British people love to ask. Go on the telephone. Oh, is it raining where you are?
Yeah.
That's quite a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it raining where you are?
Yeah, what's the weather like where you are?
Because it could be raining in one part of London and not raining in another part.
Yeah.
Or it could be raining in one part of the country
that
and not
like my
raining
grandparents,
in another part.
Like all my grandparents. Oh, what's the weather like in Paris?
Right. Oh, is it raining where you are? Should we just do it another time?
Yeah.
The question we love to ask. Yeah. Should we just do it another time?
Should we just do it another time?
Which is like, oh, I can't be bothered to do it. Yeah. Let's just do it another time. How's that dog of yours? Really?
Random.
Here's another one. Who are you flying with?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Who are you flying with?
Yeah.
What's the conversation there?
I don't know.
It's like, what are you doing? Anything for your holidays? Oh, yeah, we're going to go to Malaga.
Who are you flying with?
Oh, it's EasyJet.
Where do you book that?
Okay. Here's another one. Simply this. Tea. Do you want a cup of tea? Good drive. Good drive, meaning was the drive here okay?
Yeah.
Are you having one? Which is like, do you want a cup of tea? Are you having one? Yeah, all right, I'll have one then. Is it a bank holiday tomorrow? It's quite a good one because, like, you know, sometimes we don't know. Did you have a good night in the end? Which is, you would say that when you met someone in the evening, maybe at 9 or 10 o'clock, and you had a drink with them.
And then they're like, oh, I'm going off to another night.
And you say, what are you doing? And they say, we're going to go to a club. And you say, oh, I'm just going to go home. I've got work in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you see them a couple of days later and you say, so did you have a good night in the end?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're very good at small talk.
And finally, another question we love to ask is this. Does it come with chips? Because apparently we like to have chips with everything we eat. There you go, folks.
They're some of the questions you need to ask if you want to be British.
That's right. And some of my listeners are on a mission to be British. So there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, slowly.
Just apologise all the time. Just say sorry.
Yeah, sorry for
everything.
For everything. Like
sorry and after you.
That's right. In the British citizenship test. It's a struggle to say that.
Yeah.
There should be an option, like if it's multiple choice, if it's like, you know, what happened in 1066? Was it A, the Battle of Waterloo? B, the Battle of Hastings? C, just another battle? Or was it D, sorry? Everyone should just tick sorry. It's like, congratulations, you are now British. Sorry, you're now British.
Yeah, that'd be the real test.
Just like, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, thanks, Paul, for taking part.
Yeah. But, and failing again.
Yeah.
we should do another country citizenship test for a laugh. Like the US citizenship test, like, you know, quite, you know.
Do they have one?
I don't know if they do, but I'm sure someone's made one.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to have a little look. See if I can quickly bring one up.
Yeah.
So this is from the WashingtonTimes.com.
Go on, Em.
US citizenship, could you pass?
All right.
All right, it's going to be tough. We're not going to get these right at all.
George likes the adverts.
So, 24 questions. We'll just do a few. Who is in charge of the executive branch of the US government? I think I know.
Are they looking for a person or a title?
It's either the president, the chief justice, the speaker of the house, or the majority whip.
Say that. Say, what was the question?
Who's in charge of the executive branch?
I'd say the president. No?
You've got the executive branch, you've got the legislative branch, and frick, what's the other one? There's a third branch.
I don't know.
Legislative, executive, and judicial, I think.
Maybe.
Which is judges.
Legislative.
It maybe is legal, also legislative. Yeah. I think it's the president.
Go on.
Yes.
Bow.
Correct
Next.
Answer. How many US senators are there? 50, 100, 200, 435. It's got to be 435.
Maybe.
It's a big country.
So not one senator per state?
Not per state, no. There are electoral colleges or something, right?
Senator for Hawaii, Senator for California. What was Arnold
you're
Schwarzenegger?
Right. Maybe you're right, it is per state, isn't it? He was the governor of California.
Oh, governor.
But maybe
there's a governor and a state, I don't know.
Mm.
435 makes it sound like that's the right answer just because it's so random.
I reckon that like Texas is too big to have just one senator.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to say 435.
Go on.
No, it's 100.
Ah.
Okay. Which we elect a president for how many years? What's the term for a president?
It's four.
Four, yeah, it is. Good. Next.
I got that wrong on the British test.
You did?
Yeah, I thought it was four. I put four. It's five,
isn't it? If the president can no longer serve, who becomes president?
Vice president.
Yeah, it's the vice president. Yeah, we know that's correct as well. We've got...
We're doing all right.
Four out of
We're
five.
We're doing all right.
Who vetoes bills? Who can veto a bill? Oof. So when the House of Representatives makes a bill, who can veto it? Is it Congress? Is it the Vice President? Is it the President? Or is it senators?
I've got no idea.
It's got to be Congress.
Yeah.
I'm sure
I was going to say Congress.
Vetoed by Congress.
Yeah.
No, it's the President. Damn. Four out of six. What are the two major political parties in the United States?
The Republicans and the Democrats.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. We're going to go up to 10.
Is this all political? Fuck, are they not got any normal shit?
This is all they care about, apparently. So how old do citizens have to be to vote for the president?
18, I reckon.
18?
What are the dates?
Well, ages.
Yeah, sorry.
16, 18, 21, 25.
18.
You can drive at 16. You can drink at 21. I think you can vote at 18.
Yeah.
Yep. When was the Declaration of Independence adopted?
What's the dates?
July the 4th, 1776. January the 1st, 1800. December the 7th, 1941. Or May 25th.
July the 4th.
Of course it's July the 4th.
Well, no, that was Independence. I don't know if that was...
Yeah, it's Independence Day. That's when the Declaration of Independence...
Oh, Declaration of Independence, yeah.
Yeah, it's July the 4th, 1776. 1776. Who was the first president? Is it Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin? George Washington.
Go on.
Is the correct answer. Okay. What ocean is on the west coast of the United States?
The Pacific. Easy.
Flipping heck.
There we go. Some of the easy questions.
What's going on? What happened to the quiz? Oh, it's still going. I mean, there's 24 questions.
All right, go on. We'll go. Okay.
Capital.
D.C. Washington, D.C.
Capital. Why does the flag have 50 stars? One for each state.
State, correct.
Okay. All right, come on. When do we celebrate Independence Day?
July the 4th. We've just done this.
4th of July, for God's sake. The idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. What are those words? Is it we the people? Is it make no law? Is it be it resolved? Is it life...
We the people, I think, isn't it?
I think it's it is. Like, is it that or is it life, liberty, happiness? It's we are the people.
We the people.
Yep, correct. What is the economic system in the United States? Capitalist, communist, socialist, barter, capitalist.
Capitalist.
Capitalist. All right, little advert there. Skip through that. We elect a US senator for how many years? Two.
Is it?
Or four? Four. four. I'm going to say four.
Go on.
Because I think that they're two. You've got elections for senators and stuff.
2 years after the president.
2 years after the president. I'm saying four. No, it's six. Six. Damn. Is that the third or fourth one we got wrong?
I don't know.
Out of 16.
Don't know.
If both the president and the vice president can no longer serve, who becomes president? The Speaker of the House, the Chief Justice, the Secretary of the Treasury, or the Postmaster General?
I think it's the Chief Justice.
I think it's the Speaker of the House, but let's see. Yes, it's
good
the
work.
Speaker of the House. How many justices are on the Supreme Court? How many Supreme Court justices are there?
No idea.
I've no idea either. 5, 7, 9, or 11?
I'm just going to go. I would say 5. That's what my guess would be, but I don't know.
I'm going to go 7.
Go on.
It's 9.
9.
Okay. So.
But I think we've missed that question because.
No, we haven't.
When you click next, it changed from 18 to 19.
Yeah, because it was. No, we haven't missed anything.
I think you had to, like, hit X.
No,
on
it's
the
okay.
Right,
it's
right,
okay.
Right,
we right, haven't. Right. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, or Franklin Roosevelt?
Was it Jefferson?
It was Jefferson. Okay. Who was president during the Great Depression and World War II? Is it Richard Nixon, Woodrow Wilson, Andrew Jackson, or Franklin Roosevelt?
It's Roosevelt.
It's Roosevelt.
The only reason I think that is because there's a station in Paris called Franklin Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah. During the Cold War, what was the main concern of the United States? Was it unemployment, hunger, communism, or national parks?
Communism.
Communism. They were completely freaked out by it, right? Next question.
Wait. Hit the X on that advert.
No, this isn't it.
You're going to go 20. So it's at 21?
No. It's, that the previous question was question 21.
Okay.
It's fine. Right. There's adverts.
How many amendments?
They're adverts that are messing with us, ladies and gents. How many amendments does the Constitution have? We've got the First Amendment, Second Amendment, you know, all these different amendments.
There's too many amendments. I've got no idea.
25. It's 27. 27. Who is the current Chief Justice of the United States? When was this
changed?
When was this named? I've no idea. John Roberts, William Rehnquist, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or Clarence Thomas?
None of those names ring a bell.
Clarence Thomas is wrong. It's John Roberts. Okay. Who was president during World War I? Woodrow Wilson, Theodore Roosevelt, Warren Harding, or Franklin Roosevelt? It's Woodrow Wilson. And that's it. We've finished. What happens? Congratulations.
Yeah!
You answered...
America!
You answered 18 out of 24 correct. Your score is in the 22nd percentile. I think that means that we are in the 22% who got 18 out of 24.
Yeah, and there's a picture of an American passport, so we are now officially more American.
78% of people got fewer questions right than us.
Yeah.
So we're American now, Paul.
Yeah,
are you happy to be an American?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it.
We can vote.
Yeah.
So that's nice, I suppose. All right, folks. Well, there you go. So Paul failed the British citizenship test and he passed the American one. What does that tell you? I've no idea.
Oh, my God. It tells me that these tests are bullshit.
You can leave your comments in the comment section as usual, ladies and gents. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Paul Taylor, do you have anything to say to the people of planet Earth?
The people of planet Earth that listen to Luke's English podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for those who are ninjas. Who never comment, but and a few of you who follow my stuff, who I hear from you regularly on comments and stuff like that on my vlogs and my videos.
How do they follow your stuff?
They can follow me anywhere that's social media 25 years old and above, basically, not including Snapchat.
What, 25 years
old? Yeah, people who use Snapchat are usually...
Right, less than 25 years
old. Yeah, I don't know how to use Snapchat, really, and I don't have a community on there. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I'm active on all of those quite a lot, mostly on YouTube, to be fair.
All right. Okay.
So, yeah.
Wicked, man.
You're blad.
Wicked, yeah.
You're blad.
All right. Well, speak to you again soon.
All right. Cheers. Thanks for having me over.
You can say goodbye to my audience.
Yeah. Au revoir. Au revoir. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Ladies and gents, thanks for listening. Speak to you again soon, but for now, goodbye. Bye, bye, bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.